Let's get our word out. Let's get the word of God out. I want you to turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. I want to say, everybody that's watching live right now, wherever you're at, it's an honor to have you. It's an honor to have all of you right here in the congregation. I'm so excited that several of us ministers are headed to San Antonio right after this service to go and minister to a lot of the Western world. It's amazing what God is doing in the Western world. Started in about 1970 when God called my spiritual dad and mom, Glenn and Ann Smith. Glenn now is in heaven. Ann is headed to San Antonio right now. And asked my mom and dad and our family in about 1984 to come and minister in Odessa, Texas, at a high school rodeo. And so we sang and he preached, and God just birthed that well before that in the 70s. And now ministers from all over the country, some Idaho and up in the northern Montana, Wyoming areas, Colorado, and then all the surrounding states come together, and I'm in charge of this conference. And we're going to preach and get fed and see lots of ministries. I mean, it's so big this year how they're just coming in from everywhere. And we're going to preach the Word of God. Amen. And so I want y'all to pray for us. We'll just be gone until about Thursday with my family. And this conference is tonight. I have an awesome man named David Hilton. Pastors a very large church in Dayton, Texas. And his worship team's going to come and minister, and then me and Ricky and Daryl going to go and add maybe Dwayne, I think, going to bring his bass and get in his piano, and we're going to have fun. There's about 12 or 13 ministers going to minister, some that's been around for a long time, and it's going to be a great, great time. And so, but before we do that, we're going to get into the Word of God. 2 Timothy chapter 3, if I titled this message, here's how I would title it: Living Right Has Rewards. Let me say that again. Living right has rewards. I mean, because there's something about doing the right thing. There's something about knowing who you are in Christ Jesus. There's something about righteous living. And a lot of times we don't talk a lot about these kind of things, but I'm telling you, there's something about someone that walks in integrity. Well, that's all of us. Amen. Well, what happens though is the enemy then, how many know there's a devil? Now, he don't have no power unless you give it to him. Say amen to that. Amen. The devil is just a fallen angel that has absolutely no power unless we give it to him. And he wants to destroy our lives. I mean, he sets up some things trying to get our minds to start thinking negative, speaking doubt and fear and unbelief. And if we agree with that and we begin to allow those kind of thoughts to manifest, then they will. And we can be destroyed in a lot of ways. Kill. Remember John 10:10 says, the thief comes not but for to, say it with me, y'all, steal, kill, and destroy. Well, that's his job. Well, you and I, when we gave our lives to Jesus, man, we are translated from that old kingdom of darkness, that old way of Babylonian living, and we are translated into living by the light of the Lord Jesus. Now, I'm not a minister that talks a lot about rewards in heaven, because they're there, and thank God for it. But I am a minister I want to teach what the Word of God says about right living. So let's just jump right into it this morning in 2 Timothy. Let me get over there. And let's just begin to read what God says about you and I. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And look at verse 16. Now this is talking about this Bible, right? Because it says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in what? Say it louder. For instruction in righteousness. Now, when you gave your life to Jesus, the Bible says that you were made the righteousness of God in Christ. Okay? Now, we got to get a hold of that. Because righteousness is just who we are. You are righteous. One might say, yeah, I don't feel righteous, though. I've done some things in my past, and this is what people say to me. You know, if I even went to your church, lightning might strike. How many of y'all heard that before? I mean, just, and it's never happened. Lightning has never struck anybody dead in church that I know of. Is there anybody that knows of anybody that's been killed in church by lightning? But boy, how the devil has convinced a lot of people that they're not worthy. And that, of course, that ticks me off, because I was raised with that mentality. Hey, you're not worthy. You're not worthy. Oh, we're just not worthy. We're just little old worms in life. Ha, yo mama. Because we're worthy. And you know who made us worthy? Jesus. So we've got to start changing the way we talk, the way we believe. You know, last 2 weeks ago, I started ministering on calling those things that be not as though they were. And really, the Lord, I had so many messages to do this morning or to do at this conference. And matter of fact, I thought it was one that I had about a month or two ago, and God just began to change. And man, I've studied and got the word of God concerning calling those things that be not so they were. And so I'm going to deliver that this weekend to the ministers. But I'm here to tell you, there is a different way that we've got to start living, because the living like the world lives is not the way you and I live. And the way the world lives is the things that they see and they hear and they smell, taste, and touch is how they live, even in the kingdom of God. But that's not how you and I are supposed to live. We're supposed to live by kingdom principles. We're supposed to believe in a God that we cannot see. We're supposed to believe, you know, in the principles of God that will not work unless we believe them. All things are possible to him that what? Believes this word. But there's something about understanding who you are in Christ Jesus and not allowing the devil, the enemy, other people to convince you that you are not righteous, regardless of what you've done in your past. You, my friend, are the righteousness of God in Christ. You are someone in Christ Jesus. You are worthy to be called a son or a daughter of the Most High God. And when you understand that, I'm telling you, it will change your life. It'll cause you to start living on the level like God. Amen. Oh man, that'll mess up some religious folk. Did you say we're trying to act and be like God? Yes, because the Bible says to imitate the Lord Jesus. You need to talk like him. I didn't say you was trying to be God. But you got to talk like him and act like him and be like him. If not, you're going to have to act like the opposite, the devil. And so many times we do. And it's all because we don't know that we are righteous. I looked up the word righteous, and it means right living or just living. In other words, the Word instructs us and equips us to success and to successfully live by a higher standard that leads to upright, godly, and clean living. That's what righteousness means. It's a standard in our lives. But we've been convinced with that old scripture, you know, brother, we all fall short of the glory of God. And that is true. But it's not how we're supposed to live. It's not supposed to be an excuse then for failing. You know, brother, we just all fall short of God's glory. Yeah, but you don't have to. You don't have to. And it's because we've not really grasped who we are in Christ Jesus. Look at Psalms 112. And what we're going to do this morning, just real fast, is we're going to get the Word of God on the inside of us. In order to change anything in your life, it's going to take the Word of God. Don't come to Cowboy Church just trying to get entertained, just trying to, you know, get through one more week. No, if you apply God's principles of this Bible to your life, it will change your life and you'll walk in a new way. You won't walk with your head down and your shoulders in. You'll walk with your shoulders and your chest out and your head up. You'll stop, you know, thinking that you're not worthy, and you'll start thinking like you are a child of God who has the authority to use the name that's above every name, Jesus. God's given you this word as an instruction manual. That's why we started out in 2 Timothy talking about all Scripture is inspired by God, all of it. So when God calls you righteous, that's who you are, the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Now, Psalms chapter, let's get some word into us. Psalms 112, and read with me verse 1, 2, and 3. Ready? It says in the King James, "Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that fears the Lord, that delights greatly in his commandments. His seed shall be mighty upon earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Wealth," when I was looking up the offering message, this is when I found this, "wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his," what? "Righteousness endures forever." Right standing with God. Look at Proverbs chapter 10, just to your right. Proverbs chapter 10. We read in the offering message about verse 15, Proverbs 10 and 15, "The rich man's wealth is a strong city. Destruction of the poor is their poverty." But look as you begin to read it down, the labor of the what? Righteous tendeth to light, but the fruit of the wicked to sin. In other words, there's something about living right. Living right. And it's not hard, really. People think it's hard, but really it's not hard, just living by integrity. If you gave your word, that's your word. I just think that we need to get back to the old way of living. You know, that handshake. You didn't have to have a contract because someone knew. Now today, in today's world though, oh man, you want to use wisdom. But not in my dad's day, my granddad's day, right? I mean, when you said, "Hey, I want to buy that truck. How much you want for that truck?" You said $5,000, right? $10,000. Would you take $7,500? But when you agreed to it, And then that hand was there. Kind of got a bad hand. But even it doesn't matter. When that was, let's do it left-handed. Then when that left hand, that was the seal, so be it. Well, of course, that's how the Word of God is. I mean, when you believe that word, it's yes and amen. It's going to come to pass for you if you just dare to believe it. Okay, we got to start getting back to those days of, you know what? I'm going to live by integrity. My word is true. Now, you might have to ask for forgiveness, getting a little ahead of God or whatever. And I'm okay with that. But I just think that the Bible says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. When we need to know who we are in Christ Jesus, and that's what right living actually is. Look at, let's go to the New Testament and go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Oh, thank you, Jesus, for the Word of God. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5. And look with me. Say amen if you're in 2 Corinthians 5. Amen. Now go all the way to the very end, verse 21. For he hath made, talking about Jesus, him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made, what? The righteousness of God in him. Now we're getting down to a scripture that birthed this message the other day with me and my daughter going to look at a college. But before we get there, let's flip over to our right to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. And all we're doing this morning, y'all that are watching, is we're getting the Word of God into us, feeding and building up our spirit man so that we know who we are in Christ Jesus, so that when the enemy starts attacking us, we know that, no, we're made righteous. We do things right. We have right living. That's just our nature. Our nature is not to live wrong, to be deceptive. Our nature in Christ Jesus, if you're saved, is to live right. Would you say amen to that? Now, Ephesians chapter 14, it starts talking about the armor of God, right? And it tells us to put on the righteousness of God, which is one of the armors. So there's something about being righteous and having that armor on. So what are we talking about again this morning? How there is rewards for living right. I'm reminded of this. Thank God for forgiveness and grace and mercy for not living right. Oh, I can tell you story after story of me not living right in college. Oh, Jesus. I don't even want to remember those stories. Just the reckless living that I did, Mom and Dad never knew it. Well, they probably knew it, did you? Yeah. My mom's like, I knew it. I'll never forget. Back in the 80s, you could actually go to Del Rio to the rodeo, go across the border to Mexico, and you could eat a meal, not a big deal, and then come back. And we were kids, you know, 16, 15, 14. We'd go across, come right back. The only thing I ever remember about that is you needed to make sure you paid one of those men where you put your car to watch your car. Because they might steal something out of it. But they wouldn't kill you. Now, it's not too safe. Well, my brother Steve was a little wild when he was in high school. And And Mom, we went across and came back one night, and I was wondering, we all, you know, I had to lay down in the floor, and me and my brothers laid down, because all we could afford back then was a motel room, and we'd make a pallet. And I always remembered, I don't care if it was 12 or 1 o'clock in the morning, Mom would come and kiss us. I'm glad you're home right here. I never knew she was trying to smell if we had been drinking. Until later on, I was holding my breath. No, I don't know if I was drinking. I guess I was too young, but I thought, how funny how Mom would find stuff out. I always wondered, how did she find out I was on the roof of our house? And then she would say something about a bird told me. And I was young enough to believe that stuff. I mean, this isn't right. This has scarred my life. Listen to me. There's something about putting on that breastplate of righteousness. Why? Because that's where the heart is. And if the devil can penetrate that heart, let me tell you something that we're going to do at the conference, and we're going to be praying. One man called me, was coming to the conference, and had a major bypass just on Friday, dealing with his heart, major. Another minister was coming, very excited, man. Was there last year, of course. And on the right side, his chaotic, one of them arteries, carotid, oh man, completely clogged. Matter of fact, it's cauterized to where, I mean, they're not afraid of if it causing, you know, even a stroke, because it will not break off, but it's caused a lot of trouble. I mean, he's losing his memory, and he's doing things unlike himself. The only thing that comes out of his mouth a lot of time is the Word of God, because it's been sown into his spirit, man. So there's something about the attacks of people's hearts right now. And I'm here to tell you, if you've been attacked in your heart, God wants to heal that right now in Jesus' name. So we better do this. Better be led by the Spirit of God. If you're having issues with your heart, blood flow, not beating correctly, whatever it might be, I want you to stand up right now. And we're going to pray. We're going to pray over it right now. Just stand up. If you had issues with your heart, I want you to stand up, and we're gonna take care of that right now. Y'all three?
Can I stand up for my daughter?
Absolutely. Yeah, if you know somebody, you stand up, and you'll be a point of contact. Is there anybody else? Dennis? Jan, y'all come here. Y'all too. Okay.
22.
Y'all come up here, just so we don't have to get in the midst of people. Y'all just come right up here. Come here. If you're coming, you're standing in for someone, that's fine too. You come, whatever it might be. Let's deal with this right now. The reason that I believe that God wants to talk about that armor around that heart is because obviously that's where the blood flows. And I mean, it flows in and out, right? I mean, that heart, that's the issue. Bible talks about the heart in so many ways. Out of the abundance of the heart is what causes the mouth to speak. And so whatever's in your heart, spiritually even, and even in negative ways, you know, is damaging. And so the enemy begins to deal with people's hearts. And so what us three are going to do is we're going to lay hands on you, as the Word of God says. Mark chapter 16 says, lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. So what we're going to do, since we've been talking about calling things that be not, and what's not? Well, your heart acting right. What we need to call it, though, like it's acting right, calling those things that be not as though they were, okay? And when we pray over you, then whoever you're standing in for, is it your heart or are you standing in?
Standing in for a relative.
A relative, that's fine. And you're standing in for?
Anessa.
Anessa, okay? And then y'all's hearts, we're going to just speak to that heart in Jesus' name. And what we're going to do is we're going to speak to it and command that heart to line up with the Word of God, how He created it. And all of you should be convinced that God created the heart to work properly in Jesus' name, no matter age.
Amen.
No matter age. Amen?
Amen.
And y'all be in agreement. Because the Bible says where there's agreement, there's strength. So if you doubt, then, you know, hold your breath for 5 minutes, okay? We need to tend to something. I don't want any doubters in here. I want people of faith. Say amen to that.
Amen.
Now let's lay hands on these people, and let's just begin to pray over them. You lay hands on her. You lay hands on her. And whatever it is, and I'm going to speak to this heart. Now, y'all be agreement. Y'all don't sit there and watch. Y'all pray. And if you know someone that is needing a heart to be healed, then you just lift up their name and speak it out in Jesus' name. Stretch your hands. Father, in the name of Jesus, this heart, whatever it is healed by the power of God, and it beats correctly. It acts right in Jesus' name. Father, I pray over this heart in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, that the Bible says lay hands on the sick, they'll recover. So we just thank you, Lord, that the heart operates and functions correctly in Jesus' name. I speak to this man's heart in the name of Jesus. Well, God knew. He knew. It didn't matter if I touched the top of your head. God knows where to go to. Amen. Heart in Jesus' name, come alive and beat correctly and produce the blood the way it's supposed to be produced in Jesus' name. Say amen to that. Amen. Father, thank you, Lord, that every bit of this body from the head to the tail, to the head to the bottom of the feet, is lined up with the Word of God in Jesus' name. And heart, you work in Jesus' name. Father, whoever she's standing in for in Jesus' name, I thank you, Lord, that that heart is whole, mended, healthy in Jesus' name. Yes. And Father, we give you the praise and the honor and the glory for it. Now I speak to every disease that's trying to harm these hearts. And we rebuke that in the name of Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
We come against it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
And we won't settle for it. Amen?
Amen.
So now y'all say, I'm healed. You're going to say that for your whoever you're standing for. You're
she's
healed. I'm healed.
I'm healed.
I am healed.
I'm healed.
I'm healed.
I'm healed.
In Jesus' name. In Jesus, that's the power.
Jesus.
Now give God glory. Okay? Okay, thank you. All right. Now let's get back to this message real fast, because I think that when we put that armor on, how many of you know that the Bible tells us to put it on? So you and I need to put it on. It's just not going to automatically be protected. We got to protect that heart, man, because righteousness is who we are in Christ Jesus. So we're going to put that breastplate of righteousness around that breast area so that that heart can be protected by the power of God. Now, let's go to two more scriptures, and then we'll call it quits. Let's go to Matthew 6, Matthew's gospel. And I thank you so much as a church that allows the freedom of the Holy Ghost to flow in this church. Because I'm here to tell you, I was raised in some denominations where you never saw something like that. I was preaching at a camp meeting one time. All denominations are there, and I just simply, most of y'all know the movie 8 Seconds with Lane Frost and the bull rider that got killed at Cheyenne. His widow at that time is now married to a friend of mine named Mike Macy in Post, Texas. And her and I went to a place, and she gave her testimony. And man, she just had just this hunger to see people healed by the power of God. And so I had preached on, you know, God will heal you. He's no respecter of persons. If he healed blind Bartimaeus, he doesn't like blind Bartimaeus more than you. He's got to heal you. If he healed the woman with the issue of blood, then he has to heal you. All you got to do is believe it. And so I said, if you're sick, something's wrong with you, come on down. And oh, my Lord, here they came. The very first one was the lady in the wheelchair. And they just lined up. Well, I mean, you saw some things people never would have dreamed. What? A woman getting up out of a wheelchair and her legs were this little. They didn't have any muscle on them. And she said, I want to walk. And I said, well, then get up and walk in Jesus' name. And I just backed up. Well, the people that had never seen that was on the... They were standing on their chairs so they could see it, witness this. I mean, it was freaking them out. Like, God could really do that? And all it was just getting their faith up, right? Look at Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. Now, Jesus is the one that's saying this, right? It's in red. But seek ye first. Say it louder. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Now, for y'all that have never been taught this before, the kingdom of God is not necessarily talking about heaven, the place. It's talking about a method how we're supposed to live here on this earth like heaven. Remember the Lord's Prayer, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done where? On earth like heaven. Okay. So, here the word is saying, but seek first the kingdom of God, God's ways of doing things here on earth like heaven. Say that with me. Seek first the kingdom of God, his ways of doing things. Okay. And his what? So, Jesus is trying to tell us this morning, look, come on, brother, sister, come on, look at this. Seek first my way of doing things. Jesus is saying, seek first, don't do it last. Seek first the kingdom, my ways of doing, and he made it a point to say his righteousness, his way of living and being right. There's something about right living, y'all. And here God's wanting us to seek the kingdom, his ways of doing things, and his righteousness. And then what? All these things shall be added unto us. Okay? Here's where this message started, and I've got almost 20 minutes, and I won't take that long. Let's go to Isaiah 58, all the way back to Isaiah chapter 58. Here's where this message, I thought I was going to be finishing up on what I've been studying for, I mean, every single morning about calling things that be not as though they were. And here's where this message popped into my spirit. And the Lord says, you teach it this morning. We'll teach the rest of calling things that be not at the conference. Isaiah chapter 58. This is good. And verse 8. Say amen if you're there. Isaiah 58 and 8. Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness, listen, shall go before thee, and the glory of the Lord shall be your reward. But in the Amplified, it says your rear guard. So I was talking to my daughter going to look at the college in Weatherford. they just have everything for a junior college that she wants to do. She wants to rodeo. She wants to, you know, get her basics out of the way and take some, you know, she has another dream in her life. And so we were looking at this, and I don't know how we got to talking about different things. And I started just being a dad to her, and it was just me and her. And I began to talk, and man, I could just hear her heart and the things that she was saying to me. And somehow we begin to talk just about, you know, different ones. And we begin to look at places, you know, maybe to buy and for her to live at. And, you know, she told me, "Dad, I want to live by myself." I said, "Yeah, yeah, you're kind of like me. I don't like loneliness. I mean, some people can just be by themselves. I like people. I mean, I want someone around." And we began to talk about, you know, maybe people living with her, or maybe she needs to, you know, find someone. And I began to talk about, you know, the people that she might be interested in hanging out with. And somehow it just came up that we began to talk about, you know, people that think like her. And, you know, she has a boyfriend, of course, that's not in here right now. And we began to talk about everything that, you know, a daddy would want to hear from his daughter, and the temptations that are out there in college, the things that I went through. And I just began to talk about that. And somehow this scripture popped up. And I said, "But did you know that the Bible says your righteousness goes before you and the glory of the Lord is your rear guard?" I said, "What does that mean to you?" And she began to ponder and think. And I said, "Do you want me to explain it to you?" She said, "Yes, Dad." I said, "Well, the Bible says that your righteousness goes before you. And what that means is that no matter what, when you live right and you do right and you act right and you know who you are in Christ Jesus, that you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, it goes all the way before you. It gets out there, and your reputation is not of a bad girl. Your reputation is your righteousness and how you've treated people and how you've acted and how you are right now and how you've been back when. Your righteousness goes before you." Now, I say this with just some caution for us all to not get into bondage for not acting right back when. Because the devil wants us to live in guilt and condemnation, but our God is not a God of guilt and condemnation, thank God. He's a God of grace and forgiveness, and the Bible says that His mercy is new every morning. So we understand that. But when you act right and you do right, it goes before you. And here's the thing that I begin to tell her. And then the attacks, where do the attacks always come from? They come in the dark. They come from behind. They come from where you are not looking. So if your righteousness is going before you and you're living right and you're doing right and you know who you are in Christ Jesus, I didn't say you wouldn't make a mistake. Again, thank God for forgiveness and grace and mercy. But if your righteousness is going before you and you're living right and doing right in college when mom and dad are not around, then the Lord, the glory of the Lord, then protects you on the backside when the enemies are trying to attack from the back. And that's how they always do. They always come from behind and try to sneak up on us and try to attack and shoot those fiery darts of the wicked one. But because of who you are, because the one that lives on the inside of you that made you righteous, and you've decided that, you know what, I'm going to live right, I'm going to be right, then God then says, "You know what I'll do for you, girl?" This is what I was telling her. "You know what I will do for you, son? I will protect you from all the attacks from behind so that you can continue just to live forward." That's why the Bible then says, don't think about the things of the past. Think about the things that are before. The high calling of Christ Jesus. The devil wants you to look behind. God always says, "No, no, no, don't. You look at things that are before. The high calling of Christ Jesus. You keep going down this way, and I'll just make sure you don't go to the left, to the right, or to the left. I was doing y'all's left. I'm going to keep you on that path. Well, you know what that is? The perfect will of God. That's what God needs you to be. Because when you're off of the will of God, the blessing is usually not there. There's a lot of destruction we just read about. But rewards are for people that live right. And I'm just saying today, if there's an area in your life where you just have a hard time defeating that area, then you need to live under the freedom of who you are in Christ Jesus, that God made you the righteousness of God. And you are someone in Christ Jesus. You are worthy to be an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. You are someone in Him, but without Him, you are nothing. And that's so true. But not us. All of us have Jesus living on the inside of us, and we are someone in Christ. So today, we're not going to live as filthy little rags down low like a worm, not worthy of anything. No, we're going to live with our heads up, understanding that that devil that still kills and destroys is defeated by the power of God in Jesus' name. We're going to call things that be not as though they were. We are going to speak this word of God. We're going to see things manifest in our life that we've been praying about for a long period of time. We're going to start seeing healing manifest in this church. We're going to start seeing marriages restored to the glory of God in Jesus' name. We're going to start seeing people that's been burnt in church come back to hear about a God that loves them no matter what. We're going to start seeing people's finances that are under attack start becoming prosperous in Jesus' name, where money finds them instead of them working for hours and hours to try to find it. We're going to start seeing people's bodies lined up with the Word of God and be made whole to the glory of God in Jesus' name. We're going to start seeing people that are cursed understand that they are redeemed from the curse of the law. And it's all because we're going to live right. We are righteous. And when we make a mistake, then we're going to go before the Lord and say, God, I repent. And you know what God then says? You're forgiven by the power of God in Jesus' name, and I don't remember it no more. Amen. 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 All right. Thank you, Lord. Father, we love you. Thank you, Lord, for just the sovereign God that you are. God, thank you. And I know this is such a simple message of righteousness, but Father, it means something to us that we can live and have rewards from right living. I mean, blessing, favor. We thank you for that, sir. So we receive this message, sir, by faith in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' name. Every head bowed and every eye closed. If you're here and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, then I want you to right now. I want you to pray a prayer, and I want you to ask Jesus to come in. I'm talking to anyone that is watching or at the sound of my voice in this auditorium. If you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life and you don't know where you would go when you leave, you don't know if you'd go to heaven, you don't know if you'd go to that place called hell, I want you to choose heaven. I want you to know that you can have heaven here on earth. You can have peace and joy, and you don't have to live in defeat any longer. Jesus loves you very, very much. And He wants to spend eternity with you. So I want to pray a prayer. If you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, you do it right now, and I'll lead you into the prayer. And all the believers in here, we're going to pray this prayer with you. We're going to do it out loud. We're not ashamed of confessing Romans 10:9 that Jesus is Lord with our mouth and believe that God raised him from the dead. So let's just pray that. Church, would you pray this as well? If you never made Jesus the Lord of your life, pray this prayer right now and ask him to come in. Be your Lord. Say, Father in heaven, I open the door of my heart and I confess that Jesus Christ is my Lord. Jesus, come into my life and save me. Be my friend. Be my Lord. I need you in my life. Thank you, Jesus, for writing my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. And I'm saved. I'm forgiven. And I'm going to live for you. In Jesus' name I pray. With no one looking around, every head bowed, just in honor of God and eyes closed, just in respect of your neighbor. If you just prayed that prayer for the very first time and you gave your life to Jesus, you didn't know where you would go if you die, but now you do. You're going to heaven. If that was you and you just prayed it for the very first time, when I count to three, I just want you to be brave enough and bold enough to raise your hand up and put it right back down. I'm not going to embarrass you, but don't be ashamed. Jesus loves you. If you just gave your life to him, get that hand up when I say three. Ready? One, two, three. Go. Thank you, sir. Anybody else? Just raise it up. Put it right back down. I'm going to hand you a Bible. It's an honor. Anybody else? You just gave your life to Jesus. If that was you and you prayed that prayer and you meant it, you gave your life for the first time, get that hand up. Put it right back down if you hadn't already. Glory be to God. All right. Look at me. Thank God. Amen. No telling how many got saved on there. Thank God for one here. Amen. It's an honor to be able to see people give their lives to the Lord. And thank y'all for coming. Did you have a good time? All right. Some quick announcements before we go home. Our rodeo. Oh, man, I'm getting excited about the rodeo. We've been having meetings about the rodeo. Here's the dates of the rodeo: April the 16th through the 19th. Those are 4 days. Our rodeo is very large. It's the largest thing we do in this town. But this is the time we start telling all of our church to spread the word about sponsorship. We raise $30,000 just in added money, and then y'all know it takes quite a bit to put on the rodeo, and so we only have one event left to sponsor, and that's the mini bareback riding horse event. And we have two scholarships left. That's amazing. We are giving six, I believe, this year. It was four. Six scholarships of $1,000 each. And so we're already getting the high school kids and those that are graduating to apply for that scholarship. If you know any kid, let them know. But sponsorships, there are 1,000, I believe, is that's what we're given. So we've got two of them left. And then the only thing that we lost sponsorship-wise from last year is our mutton busting sponsor. It's the largest thing that our town, they're already writing to us, how do I enter my child in the mutton busting? Riding a sheep. It's amazing. But I'm telling you, we had to make a special event. 7 o'clock is mutton busting only. And there's supposed to be tons of kids. And so that one sponsor is something that we need. Heidi, would you stand up? That's who you see today. Rick is not here, but you see Heidi. If you have a business, you know of a business that might sponsor these events, then of course we're going to put banners all up in that arena. And like, they're only $300. Put a banner up over your business, about your business, and so, amen. I can't wait to see what God's going to do during that rodeo. We also need help in the concession stand, and AJ and Joni, our youth pastors, are in charge of that. That is one area that we need a lot of help in, and if we get enough, we can rotate so people can watch the rodeo. But it's just a big, that's really what makes our church, to finish that kids' church, a lot of money. is our concession stand. It's very, very busy for 4 days. And we just need a lot of help. And I'm just asking anybody that can, please see AJ and Joni. And or today, if they're not here, see, you can always go to Heidi and she'll help you out. But we need that. On March the 7th, please remember this. That is only in what, 3 weeks? 2 weeks? On a Saturday, March the 7th, we're going to do a work day here. We're going to paint the back end of the arena. It's going to take about, I think we're going to even be here, aren't we, Jane? I'm gone? Oh, what a shame. Because I love to paint. I just do. I'm calling those things that be not. I just love. You know what, though? If we get enough people that help us paint, then when I get home, I'm really going to be happy. I apologize, I can't be here, but we just need some help, and that's just part of a church, amen? And so anyway, we're going to plan on starting about 8 o'clock that morning and just work till we finish. But if we get enough people, if we get 15 or 20, oh, we'll have that thing done pretty quick. And so, and then there's other things that we might need to do, greasing the chutes and you just some different things that, but mainly that day is going to be painting. And so, okay. And then the last thing, and I'll leave you with this. There's a basket right behind the sound booth, and it's Operation Liberty Heal, non-perishable items. How many of you know it's important that we continue to bless people in our communities that just need help? And so that's what that's for, and we need to start pumping that up. Operation Liberty Heal is a great organization that helps a lot of people. And we have some of our people that go and pray and are there to help. And I just think it's worthy that we try to make it on the third Sunday where we bring a lot of non-perishables and we're able to then take them to Operation Liberty Heal. So would you start putting that in your mind that every third Sunday, which is next Sunday, that we'll fill up that basket with non-perishables and we'll be able to bless. Every now and then they'll give us some items that they're in desperate need of, coats for the winter, or blankets or whatever. But we just want to be a blessing. Amen? So don't forget about that. All right. Denise wanted to get Howdy. Okay. Jan, Dennis, all the Bowens, come up. Jamie, Mom, all of us that are going to the conference, they want, you can do it. Okay, it's the blue microphone. And anybody else? I don't know anybody else is going, so. All right.
So if you John guys don't know.
Where's John and Linda? They're in, well, Betsy and Starla, y'all come here. You're standing in for John and Linda Jernigan. Which one of y'all want to be John?
I'll stand here, pray for myself, and step out.
And Linda's not feeling.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Right.
So most of you guys, if you don't know about the Ministers Conference, the Cowboy Ministers Conference, it's been going on for years. And last year it was huge, gigantic. And what's the La Quinta Hotel? Mm-hmm. They have a big room there that they rent out for conferences just like this. And we filled it. And they've expanded this year. It has grown from just about 15 or 20 of us to hundreds. And if you get a chance to go, get the information to go tonight, and then you can come back. It's not but 2 hours down there, you know. So if you're interested in going, go. But we're going to pray over them and just believe that, you know, there is an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, because this thing's growing. It's getting big. It's huge. So let's pray. Father, we just thank you in the mighty name of Jesus that this ministers' conference tonight, in the name of Jesus, that there will be an outpouring of the Holy Spirit like we've never seen. We have heard it's prophesied that in these end times, Lord, that the cowboy movement will grow. And we declare in the mighty name of Jesus that this weekend, tonight, starting tonight, and tomorrow and Tuesday, Father, that the the outpouring of the Holy Spirit will just be huge, Lord. We just declare that it keeps growing. We declare that the Holy Spirit, you heal people, heal their ministries, heal their bodies. And Father, that the ministers that will be represented there will be, that their ministries will just grow supernaturally. We don't want Cowboy Movement to stay in San Antonio. We want them to take it back to where they are on this planet, and that the Holy Spirit will be poured out there where they are. And that, Father, that we will walk in righteousness, just like Corey said, and we will start declaring out of our mouths the things that we wish to come to pass. Father, I just declare that this nation will be a nation of prayer again, and that the Cowboy Movement will be, that the pride will be gone. That's what they've been trying to get rid of, the pride in the Cowboys for years, that the pride of the Cowboy will come off, and that their hearts will be filled with love, and that they will learn how to love each other, Lord. We'll still be tough Cowboys, but we will learn how to love people, and that we will learn how to pray and to minister to people. There are so many people that need ministering to. So I thank you, Lord, that the Cowboys will rise up, that they will put on their boots and spurs, and they will cinch up, and they will go and minister the Word of God in righteousness, and that the Holy Spirit will be poured out in these end days through the Cowboy Movement. I pray for Corey and Jamie, and pray that they have the mind to lead, because they are the presidents now, right now, Lord. So I just pray that they have the knowledge, the information, and the wisdom and understanding to lead this movement, to help those people to grow. I pray for every instrument that's playing there, and I pray for every person that's playing those instruments, that there will be a worship like never before, and that the Holy Spirit will move in there, and there will be supernatural, anointed awesomeness in that church, in that hotel this weekend, in mighty name of Jesus. Now, Father, we thank you that you go with us. We know that you go with us wherever we are. So we thank you that you anoint us to minister to just everybody in public or wherever we go. We thank you that you go with us. I thank you for blessing these people that came to this church service today. And I pray that they are anointed to go wherever you have called them to go. Thank you for being with us. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. All right, you're dismissed. Love you. Come on.